Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Ben Roy Turner.
I don't like being last.
You're always switching up, Scott.
Yeah, you got to switch it up. Yeah, I just wanted to sort of just do a little check-in, just do a little conversation about the state of the, I guess, the current generation, even though we're still sort of referring to it as next-gen stuff when games get their 4K 60 updates and things like that. But yeah, I just thought we'd have a conversation about it because it's been, although it feels like 10 years, it's been 2 months since the consoles came out, which is kind of crazy. Ben Roy, what's your general, where you are on next-gen stuff? Are you happy with your purchase? What do you think about everything relating to next-gen things?
As the one here that was holding out on his launch hardware, I am very, very pleased with my PS5 and my Series S right now. But I can see if you had, like, say, the mid-tier stuff, and maybe you're like, well, why do I have this machine? When am I going to have an exclusive apart from Dark Souls? Probably never.
Well, we did do a quick look before we like came to record of just the state of exclusives going forward. Like by the time this goes online, the Medium will be out. The review will be on the channel, which is a brilliant game. Absolutely love that thing. And so that'll be out. That's an Xbox Series exclusive. It's only on Series S and Series X. You can't even get
their
it on
first
Xbox
exclusive.
One. Yeah, literally their first exclusive. That's the thing. So like in terms of the first PS5 exclusive of 2021, I think that's going to be Destruction All-Stars, which is just that got bumped from last year to be the PS Plus game for February. And then it's like going down the rung after that, there's not that much. Like we sort of picked out like Returnal in March, Kena Bridge of Spirits. Like there's not too much. There's obviously Resident Evil coming, but a lot of them are cross-platform. So it's just that thing of like, we're still sort of waiting in this holding pattern. And how much of that is just 2020 and how much of it is... I don't know, like, could they not have put more things together for the start of this year?
I don't think so at the moment, Scott. It feels like, I mean, I think I've mentioned it to either you or Ben Roy before, that it almost feels like it's released in waves. Like this is the almost early access of next gen at the moment. You know what I mean? And I'm happy with that. I haven't regretted my purchase at all. You know, I've been really enjoying the
Me neither, I should say. Like, no, me neither, yeah. Not at all.
I left mine as
well. Yeah, at the moment. But you are right that, you know, in terms of what games can I play and get the most out of on this next gen system, whichever one you have, it is kind of like you're going to be waiting a while for those big hitters. You know what I mean? We've got the likes of Horizon Zero Dawn 2, God of War 2, presumably coming out at the end of the year. But for now, it's kind of like these smaller titles, which in and of itself, I think is quite cool. The fact that the Medium, you know, is going to be this first big next-gen exclusive for Microsoft. Like, that's cool, in my opinion. Yeah. People might have wanted Halo Infinite, but the fact that this now has a spotlight on it is awesome. The fact that something like Returnal is going to get the spotlight on it in March for the PlayStation 5. Like, it's cool to be in this kind of like no man's land of video game releases and be able to try new things and things that I personally might not have jumped on before. I think we've seen that even with Hitman 3, you know, like that's been the best-selling Hitman of this new reboot trilogy. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, part of that is down to the quality of the game itself, but also it's down to the fact that there's very little else to play right now, you know?
Yeah.
Have you guys found any like increased sort of scouring of like frame rates and resolutions and stuff like that? Like obviously they had the whole thing at launch of like, make sure you're playing the right version of the game. Like you're going to be either accessing a PS4 version of something that's upscale, but then they also obviously a bunch of different devs, like there's Mortal Kombat 11, Borderlands, whatever. Like you can get the PS5 version, the bona fide PS5 version of something. Have you guys found yourselves picking a specific title or like just diving into whatever? Because it's that whole thing of trying to make sure you're getting the most out of the system.
I think I can tell you that Resident Evil 6 is probably the best version on PS5 now. But Hitman, I bought the PS4 version of Hitman and then got the free upgrade, so I've been going back and forth between them and looking sort of thing. I think that ruined some of my trophy progress, so now I'm crying inside. But I couldn't really notice much apart from like the reflections, but then I only really played the first level on the PS4 version on PS5, then did it again on PS5 version on PS5. And they were pretty sort of like substantial, but I can maybe in the later levels, say like when you go to Berlin, when you go to China, like when it's more like visually striking and the lighting.
Oh, the Chongqing level is insane.
Yeah, when the lighting's more dramatic and they sort of lead you in with these sort of moments for like a few levels, and you're like, yeah, this bangs on PS5. And I think it's the best, like, someone questioned me on Twitter about like, is it better looking than Dark Demon Souls? Then I think, I don't know if you could say Hitman 3 is better looking than Demon Souls or vice versa, but I think like what they're both going for, I think they're like the best looking games I've seen run on the PS5 sort of thing. And it's just weird. It's like a early access for these consoles, because I think it's just it, because you know, we've just got to sit there and wait for our products to come out. And you know, also like if we talk about new releases, have you played the Resident Evil 5 demo? The Resident Evil 8. What, 8?
The Resident Evil Maiden is the one you want, I think.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the best looking things I've ever seen as well. Like that is just, it's either disgusting or it's beautiful and it's just dripping with atmosphere. What do you two think about that? How that looks?
That Maiden thing, like I thought it looked absolutely stunning until I got too close to some of the walls. Like I went too close to some of the fixtures in the mansion. And then it just sort of fell apart. It was like, oh my god.
You could see the sort of the man. Someone holding up the graphics, like, don't come any closer, sort of thing.
Well, that's the sort of thing. So I sort of, you know, I went super close to some of the walls and stuff. And then it was like, if you get a little bit too close, everything's quite blocky and jagged and there's a little bit blurry. And I'm like, oh, I guess if that was, I mean, that was built for the PS5 in mind, that obviously takes advantage of the SSD and everything. I think overall it looks gorgeous. But I don't know, I have like a weird feeling where I'm just kind of like, I want to make sure this is like a next gen thing, like if how much could be possible the previous gen, and I'm kind of waiting for those sorts of things. But at the same time, like I mentioned, like resolutions and frame rates and stuff, because just on the series systems, like obviously Benroy, you have a Series S, I have the Series X, like going back to older games, and then I'm always like putting the information window in the corner of the TV to like make sure it's like, oh, this is running in 60 FPS, this is running at 4K and whatever. And going back to old games and then kind of like being amazed at how well a lot of that stuff runs, like Titanfall 2 can go all the way up to 120 FPS on the Series X, which is just insane. I don't know if you guys have had anything similar in terms of like revisiting old stuff. Because for me, as soon as I saw what Xbox could do, that sort of made everything on the PlayStation side just seem a little bit naff. Because unless you have Mortal Kombat, Borderlands, you know, those specific updates, then you don't have the auto stuff.
It's weird because like I'm not a scientist, but me and my friend have been taking screenshots when we went back through Gears 5 on the new gen, and we were like comparing them, and we really couldn't see much difference in Gears 5, like for the most part, between like say Series X and S. That's about as far as I've gotten to it, like proper scrutiny. But I mean, like again, I've got the lower power machine than you, so I do most of the only games real on PS5.
The only real thing that seems to come out of that is like if you compare like Hitman, it was like, oh, you can run it at 4K on both, but the Series X can do a higher a higher frame rate. It tends to just be frame rate stuff, but resolution tends to be the same for both.
Yeah. I've been trying to cosplay a little bit as Digital Foundry since I got the next gen systems, because I'm trying to interrogate, like you said, frame rates, resolutions and stuff like that, swapping between performance mode and graphical quality though. But I haven't felt like I've missed out with only owning the PlayStation 5. Obviously, Xbox does have all of that auto HDR, auto up-res stuff, but I still think the PlayStation does a pretty good job. There are a few major drawbacks on specific titles. For instance, I think it sucks that we can't get 120 frames per second on the PlayStation 5. Version of Warzone, when you can easily get that on the Xbox, or Rocket League, where you can easily get that on the Xbox version of it. But still, like going back to old games on the PlayStation 5, it still, in some cases, like bumps the resolution or maxes out the frame rate. It makes it steadier than it was before. But for me, it's mainly been in the PlayStation 5 games themselves. I'm going to reference Assassin's Creed Valhalla so much here because it just keeps eating up my time. I keep wanting to play other games, lads. I keep wanting to go to Hitman 3.
But you're telling me to play other games.
Anything else. I know, but I've got to finish it and it's just so long. I'm like 60 hours in or something.
That's just a tutorial. You're never going
to
finish it.
It's 100. It's at least 100 hours to finish that thing.
I know. I was doing so well and then I had a week off and I was like at the pot. Anyway, I have been doing a lot of experiments in that, swapping between the performance mode and the graphical fidelity mode. And honestly, despite how I was positioned last generation as a full-on, I want the quality mode on at all times, I want the highest possible resolution, now I think I'm leaning more towards performance because seeing something like Assassin's Creed be so beautiful and run so well, mostly so well at 60 frames per second, like that to me is giving me a next-gen feeling that I'm just not getting from that version of the game at 30, you know what I mean? Like that's completely transformed how I would look at a game like Assassin's Creed because it's just, it feels so much more responsive in the world itself. For my money anyway, you know, from the few like scribbly notes comparisons that I've done between fidelity mode and performance mode, hasn't lost any kind of graphical prowess in the, in the jump, you know what I mean? So for me, I have found myself preferring performance modes in a way that I just never expected to when I went into the show.
Because I was going to say, do you think this? Well, I would say that like this is the generation that finally made 60 the baseline standard, and we've all kind of gone, okay, I get what all you PC folk were shouting about for the last sort of decade or however long it's been that Rich Hudson's been screaming at us that 60 FPS, Nosley as well, that 60 is just so much better. Because when you for example, in Miles Morales, if you go between the two, like if you play in 60 for a while and then immediately go back to 30, you do feel it. Like, and it is that thing of, oh my God, we used to be okay with this. Like, oh my God, this is horrible. And I think that like 60 sort of does feel like this new baseline that I don't know if that's enough to qualify as like, oh my God, the next generation's here, when it's obviously been in a variety of titles over the years. But like having it be the baseline across the board does feel like a worthwhile sort of step up. Like it's hard to go back, I think, once you've done that.
I think it depends on like the genre, because like you said, we have had 60 as, you know, Call of Duty's always been rock solid 60 for, you know, well, forever since it was born, you know what I mean? But we've never really seen something as big as an Assassin's Creed, like a big open world in 60, like that is new, like in the console space, like that just never happened before really at all. So that does, to me, feel like a next gen step up, because I'm like, there's no way we could even compromise and get that on previous gen consoles. It reminds me of when we had like Fallout 3 in similar games, like similar open world games from the Xbox 360 era. In like, back then we just kind of accepted that if you were going to have an open world game, it was going to look like ass. It wasn't going to look very nice. The textures would be all over the place. And then with the PS4 and Xbox One era, we got to a point where we could have big open worlds that also look beautiful. And now we've got to a point where we could have big open worlds that look beautiful and also run really well and run at 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a combination of all of it, because there's nothing, I've not really had anything since, you know, Last of Us Remastered, when you could switch that from 30 to 60 and switch back. How did I play The Last of Us on PS3 in 30 and this is trash, I just want to burn it sort of thing. But I've not really had any of that sort of thing. Like I replayed God of War on performance mode. I'm not sure if that was even in there in the PS4 version, because of where it was.
It was on the Pro
menus.
One, but I don't think it was on the regular one.
Yeah, what's the PS4 Pro? I never had it. They're discontinued now. They're dead. And then like with, it's weird, like if you play the PS4 version of Hitman on PS5, you don't get the DualSense gimmicks. But then if you play the PS5 version, all the DualSense stuff works on the controller. Oh, and like weird things like that happen, but I've not had anything that's gone like, this is the future, apart from games. I feel like everything just looks nicer, I guess. And I'm not delved into Assassin's Creed, and I'm not going to. And
you will eventually. You're getting around to Mass Effect next month.
I put it this way. I'm looking on eBay every day for a PS3 that can play PS2 and 1 games. This is where I'm at the moment. So
you got a few holes to fill. Batman Arkham is another one for you.
I still got it sealed down there. It's fine one day.
Someday. And we should talk about the controller stuff, because I honestly completely forgot about the haptic stuff until I saw a video doing the rounds about how Hitman implements it in terms of like, it's when really you do good. Yeah, when you do like a sniper shot, it's like you depress the trigger a little bit and you click it through for the shot. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I just, for me, we mentioned this in another video, but I turned it off in Call of Duty when I was online because it was just after a while, the controller's shaking and freaking out with every different thing. And I just, at some point, I need to push the trigger all the way down as quickly as possible, and that thing's just going to get in the way. But how have you guys found like all the haptic stuff? It's only obviously only on the PlayStation side, but having played a lot of Xbox stuff too, I don't miss it. Like, I don't think, I wouldn't go to PlayStation for haptics. Like, I find that the Xbox auto upgrade, the HDR, the resolution, the frame rate, I favor that massively. Like I said to you, Josh, before we started recording, I drastically prefer the Series X at this point.
See, like with me, when you get a game that uses a world, like for me, Astro was too much and I was tired by the end of that game for 3 hours. My wrists were aching and my fingers are like, leave me alone. Maybe I'm just a weak human and be put grounded. Maybe just ground me into mints and then defrost me somewhere down the line. But for me, it was Hitman. It used it perfectly well, the way when you go to throw something, it's sort of like there's a little bit of resistance there. Mm. When you're not in a major firefight, it gives you more resistance on the trigger there, sort of thing. But I feel like when you're at people are shooting back at you, I feel like it releases a bit, just like those little sort of hints that things are coming up and making the trigger feel more like something substantial. Mm-hmm. And make the controller feel £1 million like more worth it than, say, like I guess the same, basically the same controller from last gen for Xbox is fine, but I like I do prefer the vibrate, where we're going with vibration and, like, you know, this focus on the triggers. But yeah, I could see you turning it off in Call of Duty, because I wouldn't have it if I was playing Gears Co-op competitive, because you want to be able to kill these people and
ruin
their day.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mm-hmm. It's a strange thing, because like it is super effective. The Astro, we forgot even did Astro, and I love that game. But like, it's interesting because I think Astro does it the best, like as a showcase of what it can do, like fully. Like, you know, like that idea of like you walk over some glass and it feels different to walking over some sand or some water, through some water. And I think that is quite interesting and fascinating initially. But because it was that whole fear that we had beforehand of like, oh, is it just going to be another first party gimmick, kind of like what the touch, the gyro stuff was in the 6-axis for the PS3. With the LED top of the controller thing for the PS4. And that's the fear, I think. I mean, obviously, there's so many more first-party titles to come, but I haven't played that many other third-party titles developed for the PS5 or with the PS5 updates that have made that much of that control scheme. I think that stuff still is yet to be capitalized on outside of Astro.
If we get at the same level, level we do in Hitman 3, I'm totally fine, and then that's a fine gimmick. But then, like, I couldn't have every game be Astro's, because I would just die. And then I think, like, what I noticed in the Resident Evil demo is that they turned the lights off of the controller. That was a weird, creepy bit at some points. I don't know if it was the whole way through, but I was like, oh, my light, that's scary.
And then I never noticed controller stuff. Like, it was when everyone was, oh my God, the controller flashes like the cop cars in GTA. And I was like, does it? Because I'm looking way past that. Like, I'm not looking anywhere even near that. But Josh, what's your thoughts on this?
You need to play in the pitch black where the only light coming from anywhere is the screen and your controller. So you can see the flashing lights on the screen. But I'm mostly with Roy. Like, for me, I would never choose to play a thing on PlayStation purely for the controller. But I do miss it when I'm playing PlayStation 4 games that don't utilize those features. Like, I think I've told you guys before about the time I was playing Miles Morales and my controller died, but when I plugged it back in, it turned off all of the effects for whatever reason. And then I suddenly realized, oh no, I missed this added level of depth. And I think, again, using Valhalla as a quick example, like, that is a third-party game that does use the controller, not quite to the extent as a Demon's Souls or an Astro Bot, but it still uses it in a really subtle and cool way for, like, you know, the bow and arrow, so you have a bit of resistance. And I genuinely, I love that stuff, and I'm pleased that people are using it, because not everything has to be, you know, this balls to the wall, you know, proof of concept where it's vibrating all over the place and it's like giving you a back massage or whatever, like knocking your head off. But also, like, just I do miss it when it's not there. And when it comes to, like, the Xbox controller, I've always thought it was, like, functional and really good, but the DualSense just has that something a bit extra for me. And I went back and played something, I think it might be Cuphead at the weekend on the PlayStation 4. And I used the DualShock 4 for the first time in a long time. And it was one of those kind of, like, realizations of, ooh, I once thought this was the best thing ever. And now I'm going back to it and thinking, what we can always get better. You know, there's always improvements to be made. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the DualSense itself, I love, like, big chunky controllers. Like, I'm the dude who just bought the Duke for my Xbox because I was like, I want to play that stupid saucepan sized controller when I play some Halo. And which, yeah, give me, like, the biggest controller ever. We should talk about 3D audio just quickly on the PlayStation side, because obviously that's still not rolled out for speakers. They said it's going to be coming later. It's like, but you can't experience it if you wear headphones. Do you guys tend to game quite a bit with headphones on, and have you noticed much audio difference playing PS5 stuff?
I guess I'll jump in. I do. It's weird. It's so different for me because, like, say, if I'm playing Hitman, I might play a level through once with it on. But sometimes, like, with headsets, they're like the ones we have that are great. Like, but they're just like, you know, it's sometimes you don't want to be sucked too far in. But yeah, like, for me, 3D audio is, it's a mixed bag. Like, I can give or take it. Like, I guess that for multiplayer stuff as well, like, say, hearing people coming behind you has been great. But I mean, I
haven't noticed, like, a massive, like, I haven't, you know, played multiplayer on, having played a lot of multiplayer stuff on PS5 and having played Rocket League for the last sort of 6 years, I'm not, like, playing some things and going, oh my God, this sounds completely different. But I mean, Josh, you play a lot of Warzone. Has the 3D stuff worked for that?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't think it's actually implemented much in that game, at least not that I noticed, because I'm used to playing that with, like, headphones anyway, just because I need to know where people are to have a competitive advantage. And I don't usually play, like, single player games with headphones on, but, you know, I've been dabbling in, you know, Call of Duty Zombies, for instance, for Cold War, and I have been impressed with the sound there. And I made an effort to play some of Demon's Souls with headphones on as well. Mm-hmm. And it's very subtle the way that they've implemented it now, mostly because a lot of games aren't, like, making direct use of it and developing it with it in mind. Like, it's just happening on Sony's hardware and software side after the fact. Yeah, with the Tempest engine. But that's been enough for me. It's like, it's not this kind of, like, flashy, this is next gen feature. But at the same time, it does, for me, add a load of depth. And it makes those sessions where I do want to put some headphones on, do want to get lost in the atmosphere, all that much more richer, I guess. Yeah. So why I wouldn't like grab you by the neck and be like, Scott Tailford, buy a PlayStation 5 for the Tempest engine. I would also, you know, recommend people give it a try. Try playing some games with headphones on, because the best thing is like, now you can have, like, an inexpensive set of cans and still get to enjoy this immersive kind of experience.
Thing that I want
for you
is, I was hoping that their Tempest stuff would make every game as binaurally encapsulative as Hellblade, because like, when you play that, it really does feel like everything is all around you. I know it's because it was all recorded with 3D mics and everything, so they can just kind of replicate that and put you in the middle of scenes and stuff. And I'm waiting for something to really do wonders with that, because even like Visage, like the new horror thing that's sort of, well, I guess last year's horror thing, but it's sort of had a little bit of a revival at the minute. Even that, I guess, still makes it feel like there's things walking above you, but I feel feel like there's just more you could do, I think, with like with horror, with like any sort of more intense kind of game. But yeah, overall, I mean, let's just like sort of talk about where the industry's at. Like, I think it's just in like a holding pattern in general at the minute.
I think so. You know, like you mentioned, you know, I think I can't remember if it was on camera or off camera now, but you know, Jason Schreier mentioned on Twitter like a few weeks ago that we're essentially going to have a bunch of delays to look forward to in the first half.
Yeah,
of the year,
there is that.
Just because of everything that's going on. And I feel like, you know, even though we're in a new year, we're still dealing with the effects of 2020 and everything is still happening. In a lot of ways, things aren't getting better in terms of, you know, production, everything that's happening, jobs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And even though a lot of us have adapted to work from home, like it's still a difficult process, especially if you're making video games, you know what I mean? We've seen a lot of games try to rush deadlines or whatever and come out broken, not naming any names. So I feel like with recent high profile disasters, nobody's wanting to make that mistake. Everyone's wanting to make sure the games themselves are going to be good. And that's why I'm totally fine waiting until the second half of the year or whatever to get mm-hmm. these big hitters. Because as long as they, you know, work well, as long as they're as good as they can be, that's totally fine. And like I said, I don't mind being in this holding pattern right now because there is so much stuff that I haven't checked out. And there's still some great stuff coming in the first half of the year. Like I'm so looking forward to Resident Evil Village. I'm so looking forward to Disco Elysium, finally playing mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. on PlayStation 5. So there are big games for me to sink my teeth into. And there are ample opportunities to try things that I might not have tried before. Like I know both of you have recommended me a bunch of stuff that I definitely
will get around to. Send you a controller to play something, mate. Well, maybe one day.
On PlayStation 5, there's been a lot of recommendations that you've got me wanted to play. But yeah, I feel like this holding pattern right now, it's just kind of, you can't really complain about it because it's just such a difficult period. It's always quiet immediately after a console launches anyway, while everyone's scrambling to get the games out. Like, it's just been exacerbated.
Yeah, my main thing isn't complaining about it, but I think for me, it's being blown away by the next gen stuff and going like, oh my god, okay, that's next gen. Like watching the medium in motion, because that thing goes up to 120 frames a second on Series X, which I just didn't expect. I thought that was awesome, and just the level of detail in those environments, all the ray tracing stuff, like the split screen thing, which like looking at that feature and being like, cool, that's something that fundamentally can't be done unless you use this specific console, something that is capable of it. Obviously, it's on PC as well. And I'm sure the PS5 could pull it off, but in a feature like that, where it's like you're exploring two environments side by side and you're seeing all these different features go between the two, I just love that, and that's what I want to see more of. And even Hitman's absolutely gorgeous on PS5, but I was still kind of like, oh, this is like a 4K boost to like Hitman 2, or like a nicer frame rate thing. So I think for me it's like, I can deal, but like I'm so curious what these systems can do, because like especially at the start of the last gen, it was like, well, they're launching underpowered, like the current the PCs of 2013 was so far ahead, and it took so long. They did the half step systems to try and catch up. But right now we're almost level pegging, and it's like, okay, let's see what these things can do. Ben Roy, what's your thoughts, mate?
I'm getting Resident Evil Village, so I'm fine. to be fair, I just played the best Hitman game they've ever made, and that ended so perfectly. And
that last level.
Yeah, that last level, Josh, you look forward to the next James Bond game because they basically go, have you seen that we're making a Bond game, lads?
Like, it's almost like they submitted it. It's just sort of like, here's literally what we're probably going to do.
There's a bloody GoldenEye sort of like, there's like two GoldenEye Easter eggs in that level. I'm like, what the f-? Even though they're still going to be GoldenEye, but you know what I mean? Like, Resident Evil Village, I mean, they've put a date on that, so you imagine that's pretty much done out the door sort mm-hmm. of thing. Like, and it's May seems far enough away. Like, you reckon, like we would have had that in March or something if there wasn't so many sort of like, you know, let's take it slow. But yeah, globally at the moment, like we can't even get everyone to cover their mouth, let alone get everything's going. So you know, mm-hmm. I'm just taking how we go, and yeah, I mean, like you just gotta sort of like temper your expectations and sort of like see what's coming ahead, and there's not going to be a game every month like there was last year, the year before, whenever that everyone's going to be sort of hot on. I mean, again, like Hitman 3, the medium, and then nothing till Resident Evil. I'm forgetting the number every time. I'm not a fan. I'm obviously not a fan. Raccoon City banner over there. Resident Evil 8. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just just go back and play some older games. That's what I said.
That's the thing that that I think is awesome, is that you can go back to stuff and you have...
It's so easy, yeah.
Yeah, that's what made me just sort of go, man, the Series X, or even the Series S2, like, they're incredible pieces of hardware. Just put anything into it, download anything you want, and it just upscales it. It makes it nice and polished, and it upscales in the frame rate and everything. And it's just like, yeah, the original Splinter Cell with HDR is gorgeous, like playing Full Spectrum Warrior or whatever, like just... anything like that, SSX3, like, I've loved doing that to the point where it's kind of made me look at the PS5 and Sony and go like, oh man, you guys should have done this too. Like, you guys should have, you've had this entire legacy collection. You could have made that part of the next gen boost the way that Xbox has. And obviously there's pros and cons, because on the PlayStation side, at least you have more platform exclusives. Although then again, with the medium, it almost balances it out, because on the PlayStation side, it's like Demon's Souls and that's about it. But yeah, I guess some closing thoughts. Are you guys just kind of like, you're cool with the consoles and just waiting for more games? Or is it going to be stuff where older titles get patches and up-reses and things to take advantage of the hardware?
I think it's basically video game summer now. Like, you know, where we have like summertime with no games, and you would like to hope that we maybe get more stuff, like when we would just look at liquid, like not until May and then June, and then the stuff starts either coming out or like it's going to come out, and like Far Cry 6 at some point is going to have to pop up and all that sort of thing. So who knows? And like, you know, what, one day if Rainbow Six Quarantine, if they change that name, maybe it'll come out. And also, I just like to say, God of War 2 is not coming out this year.
It's not, is it? To be honest,
it's not.
They put dates and everything else, and they did not on God of War. I don't believe it until it is on disc in my hand.
I would 100% back every word of that, Mr. Josh Brown. Closing thoughts.
Like Ben Roy said, I'm sort of enjoying this video game summer in winter this time. I'm going to be gorging Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's more than enough to tide me up. I'm going to definitely get Hitman 3 once that's done. But in between then, I'm just going to enjoy playing some Ring Fit on the Nintendo, playing the Sopranos Road to Respect PlayStation 2 game, maybe even cracking back out the PlayStation 1 Classic. I don't know. This is the beautiful thing about this period, man, because until March for me is when like I get a few big juicy games around. Is that I can do anything. I feel like a free man. You know what I mean?
You've unleashed something in Ben Roy.
I'm starting to buy a couple of PS2 games that I don't have up here, so I can then play them on my PS3 back compat when I find one for a decent price.
Is this not the biggest indictment of how broken everything is, that we've gone backwards?
Return to Castle Wolfenstein. It's a great game, by the way. That's what I held up.
I mean, at least you can get SSX Tricky.
This is an entire podcast about the state of the next-gen consoles, and we've decided Ben Roy is going to get a PlayStation 3 fat to play PlayStation 2 1 games. I'm going to the PlayStation 1 Classic, and Scott, you're just continuing to play everything as normal, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to try Rocket League, looking for the things that have better resolutions to try and continually justify my stupid TV. And maybe someday I'll get there. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. One, if you've actually managed to get the systems themselves, because they continue to be sold out, especially in the UK with a bunch of scalpers taking all those units. And also what you think of the state of the industry at the minute and all the exclusives and the systems themselves. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
I guess goodbye. I forgot to say goodbye. Like, I forgot Resident Evil 8. I don't know what's going on.
And Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Good night.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.